computers are becoming faster, and we're getting more storage. They're getting better and better and better. As of yet, I don't think that we have a conscious computer. Do you think, because they're beginning to toy with the concept of quantum computers, Doctor, is that, in your opinion, going to be the moment or somewhere down the line with quantum computers when a computer does attain something like consciousness?
Well, I think if a computer could possibly be conscious someday, it would have to be a specific type of quantum computer, not a classical computer. But let me just talk about classical computers for a moment, because many, you know, AI, artificial intelligence, computer scientists, technology people believe that computers will eventually, inevitably, attain the capacity and function of the human brain. Mm-hmm. And will therefore become conscious. And that, you know, Moore's law that the computing power doubles, you know, per area every year and a half or so has held true. And they project that out and then make an estimate of the brain computational power based on neurons as the fundamental unit. And if you extrapolate those two lines, they meet, I don't know, 2030 or something like that. So that is the proposed point at which computers will become equivalent to the brain, therefore consciousness, and Ray Kurzweil calls this the singularity. He has made kind of a big deal about it. I personally think it's a bunch of
baloney.
Baloney.
All right, yeah. So wait a minute. You're saying that based on Moore's law, if it doesn't break down before 2030, and we continue to double between now and 2030, at 2030, there would be an equivalency between the human brain and even the computers we have today in 2030?
Well, equivalence between the human brain and the computers we will have in 2030.
Wow. But do you not think that's going to mean...
No, because it's based on the assumption that the fundamental bit or fundamental unit in the brain... We know what the fundamental bit or unit in a silicon computer is. It's little transistors on or off, one or zero, and there's a gazillion of them, and that's, you know, and they all interact. So what's the fundamental unit in the brain? Well, the assumption for that calculation is that it's a neuron firing or not firing. Mm-hmm. And that is generally considered to be the fundamental unit of the brain. But as far as consciousness goes, that is not the fundamental unit. The fundamental unit is more subtle. It's on the other side of the neuron, I believe, and many people believe, in the dendrites, quantum processes in the dendrites, in a kind of hidden layer in the neural networks of the brain. And
dendrite. What is a dendrite?
Well, a neuron is kind of a squid-shaped structure. You know, a squid has like one, when I think of it, it's on one end it's got a bunch of tentacles that all gather into a central point, and then on the other end one long thing sticking out. I don't know, maybe that's a good description, I'm not sure. But it's a cell that's asymmetrical. And on one end, it has a long axon that fires information from the center of the cell body, along the axon, a wave of electrical activity that goes out to the mm-hmm. synapse. Mm-hmm. But on the other end, on the other side of the cell body, is a kind of a web-like, you know, almost, if there were five of them, that'd be like a hand-shaped set of structures, each of which is a dendrite. They can have many, many more than five, but multiple... That go out and they receive inputs from axons, for example. So that makes a network. The axon brings the information to a chemical synapse on a dendrite, and there are many dendrites, and they all integrate the input and then trigger a firing of an action potential. And that's the integrate and fire method mechanism that allows a linkage or comparison between computers, how computers are constructed, and how people think the brain works. Putting all of the weight on the firings, which are called spikes, and they're easy to measure with electrodes, so people get a lot of information and data and assume that that is equivalent to consciousness. But actually, the data from EEG shows that the activities that lead to consciousness are in the dendrites. They are in much more subtle processes occurring in the dendrites.
The computer people here in the world obviously think that they are approaching real artificial intelligence, and if what you believe is true, they're not, and they're not going to get there until they get a quantum computer, yes?
A particular type of quantum computer. It was actually Roger Penrose who began this kind of pushback against the AI juggernaut with his 1989 book called the emperor's new mind. You know, like the emperor's new clothes. He was pointing out that AI being the emperor really had nothing going. It was just all a bunch of hype, and you know, we just need a bigger, faster. Give us another $100 billion and or $100 million, and we'll have it for you. That sort of thing. And
right.
he kind of called their bluff, and they weren't very happy about it.
I imagine they're still not.
They're still pissed. Oh,
yeah.
Can I say that?
Oh, yeah, you can say that. I'm sure you can say that. I would imagine they are, because they think they're making progress in that direction. And
oh, they are. They're making a lot of progress. The problem is that calling it consciousness and brain equivalence. You know,
give me a test, doctor. How would you know? Give me a test that you would lay down for them to, in other words, what would you have to see to say, okay, you've achieved AI?
Well, it depends. If you mean consciousness, I mean, AI is many things. The only objection that I'm making is when they claim to be able to produce consciousness.
Well, and that's what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about. But a lot of times, you see a lot of bait and switch things.
I know.
You know, they talk about, you know, consciousness, and then they wind up talking about memory or attention or behavior. And these are all important things. These are what philosopher David Chalmers calls the easy problems. The hard problem is conscious awareness itself. But it's also, as you pointed out a moment ago, difficult, if not impossible, to prove that a system is conscious, because consciousness is unobservable. We just depend on first-person report. I know I'm conscious. I assume you are, but you could be what philosophers call a zombie, a complex behaving entity that looks and acts like us, but isn't really has no inner life, has no nothing going on inside. It's all just reflexive behaviors.
There have been accusations like that. listen, doctor, what kind of test would you apply if somebody represented to you that they had achieved artificial intelligence, and you could sit in front of that computer and either question it or in some way question it? What kind of test would you apply to that machine to try and find out if they had actually achieved consciousness?
Boy, that's a very difficult question. And, you know, that applies to the AI people. It also applies to, you know, the people on my side of the fence who think that you need a certain type of quantum computer. If we did that, how would we know it's conscious? And I don't know of an answer to that right now, because consciousness is completely subjective. There might be ways to tell through their behaviors, if they're non-computable, if they bring in something outside of an algorithm, because that's Roger's contention that characterizes conscious thought. But I don't know. There's been a lot of movies about that, of things becoming conscious and whatnot, and taking, and it's just you can be. I don't have a good answer yet. Sorry about that.